Okay, thank you for coming to this workshop. We're obviously very excited about the study and what it tells us. Before I start, I'm just going to talk about 5 minutes, and then we should have about 20 minutes or so for questions, so we really did want to allow time for us to engage you in some conversation. We expect you to have some reactions to this, surprises, or things that hadn't thought about before. That was certainly true for us. I really want to add my thanks to Angela and her colleagues at the National Institute of Justice and to Mary Louise and her colleagues at the FIPSA office over at HHS. Working with them was great, and we appreciated them finding the resources for this study. And also to the coalitions and programs who participated. This was, you know, they took this on top of everything else that they do all the time. And for those of you, I want to honor the advocates in the room and those of you that have provided support to domestic violence programs. There's a lot on their plate every day, and for them to add this to it was really important to us. They participated because they believed with us that the findings were going to be important, and I think they were really pleased at the end of the day to have participated. So again, we're very grateful to them. And of course to the survivors who, in addition to dealing with the crisis that they were in at the point they came to the shelter, took time to give us this kind of feedback. And as Eleanor pointed out, in addition to doing the check boxes, really wrote a lot of words for us, and that's very special for those of us. This movement was really founded initially 30 years ago in response to women who spoke out about what was happening to them at home, and so it's real important to many of us that this study captured not only numbers but real voices, including voices of criticism and critique, in addition to this saved my life, here's what you can do better. In terms of implications, there are really two that I want to focus on. One was the implications for policymakers, and then implications for the advocacy community itself. In terms of policymakers, and by that I'm talking about Congress and other funders at a federal level and a state level, they're asking reasonable questions about how the funds that they are providing through the Family Violence Prevention and Services Act, through the Violence Against Women Act, at a federal, state, and local level, how are these funds that are available for shelters, you know, how they play out? Does it matter? Are shelters still vital and necessary? I mean, it's now 25 years later. Do they still play a critical role in our response to domestic violence? Why? For whom? And what can we do better? So those are all very reasonable questions that Congress and other folks are asking about this. And up to this point, we really haven't been able to tell the FIPSA story, the story of the Family Violence Prevention and Services Act, which is the primary federal funding stream that supports shelters and the full range of domestic violence programs. We haven't been able to tell that story well. We have, you know, certainly the voices of advocates who say, of course, you know, this is what I see every day, this is what I see every day, and individual advocates stories, but this is really the first comprehensive study of this type that has, again, captured both numbers and voices that again, help us understand or create a picture of something that most people don't get to see every day unless you work at a shelter. So that's been very important. I think one of the things, particularly for policymakers, one of the parts of the story that we've been struggling to tell is that while legal advocacy is incredibly important, and the Violence Against Women Act of 1994 and 2000 and 2005 provided really vital resources for domestic violence programs to make sure that when survivors are going into court for protection orders or in criminal proceedings, that they have advocates with them, we know that it's also important that advocates have help around housing, around getting jobs, around job training, around education, those other what we call economic advocacy issues. And certainly the current recession we're in has really, you know, underscored that and highlighted it in bright yellow, how important that is, that a protection order doesn't necessarily, you know, help you find a safe place to stay. It doesn't help you replace the income that you were dependent on that the abuser provided. So I think what I'm most excited about, or one of the many things I'm excited about related to this study, is that women identified a range of issues, including the importance of legal continued funding for legal advocacy, but the need to expand our ability to provide a full range of economic advocacy issues as as well, and advocacy around immigration issues. And, you know, again, some of the other issues that we're trying to raise the profile of, because we knew from our experience every day that they were important, but now we have, again, both qualitative and quantitative data to really support. So that's very important. This gives us a good support for the story we're trying to tell, and helps, I think, policymakers feel more confident that the investments that they're making are right and need to continue and perhaps need to be expanded in some directions. And then, of course, the other group that I think this study has particular implications for are advocates who reasonably ask the question, what difference does what we do every day make to the survivors that we work with? And they hear that sometimes, but I think perhaps not as an organized way as a shelter study provides. So they also want to know, does it matter? Why? To whom? And what can we do better? And is there a match between what it is that we're providing in our particular community through our program and what it is that survivors coming through the door expect, need, want? And again, I think there's affirmation that for many survivors that's true, but there are survivors who are coming, walking through that shelter door with a set of expectations and needs that we may not be as well prepared to respond to at this point. And I'm just going to pull out a few things. And for example, there was some really important information about the kinds of concerns that victims and survivors have before even reaching out to a shelter, that they're concerned they're going to be judged, they're concerned they're going to be found, they're concerned, you know, that it's not for someone like them. I think that provides a lot of important information to domestic violence programs about things that they can do to communicate better to both victims in the community that haven't reached out yet, but also those who are in helping roles with them, their family, so that they can be reassuring about what, and close that gap between what people, you know, those concerns that people have and what their real experience will be. I think there's other areas. Eleanor mentioned conflict resolution. Are we doing as good a job as we need to do to make sure that domestic violence program staff know how to resolve conflicts? Clearly, conflicts arise. We know that anyone from a large family knows that conflicts arise in any kind of communal living situation. It's even worse when you've got a whole bunch of people from different places. So conflict's going to arise. Do we anticipate that and make sure that staff have feel confident in their ability to resolve different types of conflicts? Do we need to look at our eligibility criteria and what the reasons that we are screening women out of shelters? Of course we do. This gives us, some very concrete guidance. And Eleanor's doing some additional looking at the data, looking specifically at accessibility issues, and then we're going to immediately kind of get those to the FIPSA grantees. We very much wanted this study not to be drive-by research, and some of you may have heard that phrase before, but where, you know, research is gathered and then it, you know, the people from whom it is gathered never hear about it again. We've conducted a series of webinars for the advocacy community. We're posting, is that the next slide right here? We've posted the shelter study findings, which includes the executive summary, this research in brief, the full study, the instruments. We're putting up a copy of the webinar that Eleanor and many of us were on. Frequently asked questions, a bunch of other stuff, as well as, for example, here's the finding, conflict resolution is important, training for staff to have. Here's some resources that you can use to make sure your staff get good conflict resolution training. So we're really trying to connect here's the data, here's what survivors said, here's resources that will help you. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to have there's some pieces up there now. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be adding more. We're going to continue to make sure, you know, do whatever we can to have this be a living document that the advocacy community and policymakers can use to shape the services they provide, as well as the policies and supports that we provide to these programs. So we're excited about the shelter study. We're excited about the ways that we can use it to improve services and to enhance the responsiveness of domestic violence programs to the issues that victims and survivors are identifying now. So I'm going to turn over to Angela.